It's Azura Rahman on The Property Show, and I'm speaking to Jared Lim, and he is from loanstreet.com.my, talking about the cooling measures put in place on the property market. What have been the effects thus far? Jared, early on, we're talking about loan-to-value ratio, stricter lending by banks, and of course, interest rate hikes, amongst other things. And these have been very effective in arresting property transactions. What have been some of the less successful measures that have been put in place then?
Now, not for lack of intent, Bank Negara has this... In 2014, they announced that property developers should be very transparent in their prices, where if they are giving any freebies, any discounts, any rebates, it should reflect in the property prices.
Mm-hmm.
And then the loans will be on the net price,
right,
after discounts and rebates. Now, that was with good intention, of course, of preventing the property values from ballooning upwards. But in actuality, on the ground, if you go out there, a lot of it is where the sale and purchase prices of a property are still being inflated. And then the discounts are being given what we call belakang mari.
Right, okay.
Where they give you, okay, maybe at a certain schedule, I'll pay you back by check, or I give you a discount of 8%, so you only pay a 2% down payment, and we'll just call it even.
Is this illegal?
I wouldn't go so far as to call it illegal, but it is definitely frowned upon by Bank Negara, which is the whole reason why they came out with the whole guideline of you should not do it. Yes, it does benefit the buyer,
mm-hmm,
where you buy a property for less money than the paper value.
Right, right.
Yeah? But we must. But let's take a look at what happens in a macro perspective. What happens? What are the effects? Now, when property developers do this, and by no means are we demeaning them or castigating them on air. No, not at all. But it's what you call an unintended consequence.
Mm-hmm.
When you do this, the paper value, as it goes up, the prices of surrounding properties will be also valued upwards to reflect the paper value of the last done transaction. But in actuality, what is happening is, although the paper value says 1 million, with discounts, the total price could be actually be 900,000 only. And it becomes a spiral. Well, this is a spiral upwards where, oh, okay, last done transaction on paper is 1 million. At the NAPIC is shown as 1 million. And so, naturally, the rest of the properties surrounding that area would also shoot up in value.
Right, right.
And so this is an unintended consequence that Bank Negara is trying to curb.
What about the measure where they had actually put the minimum purchase price of 1 million ringgit for foreigners? Has that had any effect at all?
We would say this is a very marginal effect because foreigners, they make up about 7% of our residential market. And generally, most or majority of their purchases are already beyond the 1 million ringgit mark.
Right.
So, but it does help so that we don't get foreigners coming in to compete with us on the, what do you call it, the affordable housing sector.
Mm.
So yes, it's a good measure, but still limited in taking out demand.
So what has been the net effect of all these measures and on the property market if you were a buyer, if you were a developer?
We'd say, based on what we've seen on the ground, never mind the numbers, is there has been some... difficulty of disposing properties. Not that there's no demand, don't get the wrong idea. Demand is there, but the issue is with the availability of loans. Availability of credit is drying up, which makes it difficult for people to see through their purchase.
For sellers, that's a bit of a downer in the sense of actually wanting to dispose of property. Is it the same for property developers as well?
It is mainly felt at property developers first. If
right.
You've seen the drop of 31%, that's a huge drop. And in secondary market, yes, you feel it as well, but much less.
Is it also because people are holding up for the prices to fall a bit further? Is there a possibility in that?
I doubt that people are holding out and expecting prices to fall. As we've seen from the transaction numbers, the number of transactions might have fell, but the prices have held steady and,
mm-hmm,
in fact, have continued to inflate slightly.
Would you see the trend for prices to eventually be discounted then, seeing that property is not being sold? You know, it's a case of, you know, who will put their cards down first, right?
Yeah, actually, you could say that. And again, it's a bit hard to track because of the paper values not reflecting the actual values.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, we do see a lot of developers giving certain discounts or very attractive packages for some of their units, which again we say because when it comes to NAPIC data, they show paper value.
Right. So that could be skewed in that sense.
It could be skewed.
Would the rental market benefit from this then?
In a situation where the property prices are on the, how does it, our transaction volumes are not moving, we would say that it's because people are less certain, not because they're waiting for prices to drop. And in a situation of uncertainty, some people might just decide, okay, I'm getting married soon, but why not I just rent first and see how it goes. And I know two or three colleagues who are doing the same thing.
Right.
They have full intention of buying, but they are holding out to see how it goes, especially if, for example, this year with GST coming in, oil prices falling, it's just the whole uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's no demand. There is actually quite a bit of pent-up demand that we can see.
Right, okay.
Mainly for affordable housing.
And would you see rents increasing then?
Yeah, I could see how it can affect the rental market if units and inventories of empty units are not sold and people don't move in. The people with who are holding up their demand, they might just go into the rental market and drive it up slightly, but I don't believe by much.
Well, you know, it's taken time, but obviously these cooling measures have taken its effect. We haven't seen the data for 2014 just yet. Do you see this trend continuing? Do you foresee that these cooling measures will still be in place same time next year?
This year, 2015 is going to get tougher than 2014 for sure. Whether or not the cooling measures will be in place, I can't crystal ball where I am. But I do believe if things, it's not in Bank Negara's interest to see asset prices fall. And so we would have to just to trust them to be judicious in removing or implementing new measures.
Okay, and that's Jared Lim from loanstreet.com.my with the effects of the cooling measures on the property market thus far. If you've missed any bits of this interview at all, don't forget to download a podcast from www.bfm.my.
I guess those numbers are to be expected, Zura. I mean, only with cooling measures such as a less favorable loan to value ratio and also that, the more restrictive RPGT. But generally, the sentiment hasn't been that great, honestly.
The truth is, David, you know, people are just kind of spooked, you know, with the GST coming in and oil prices spiraling down.
Yeah.
Speculators have pretty much exited the market and genuine buyers just want to wait and see when it comes to buying property this year.
Mm. And you know what that means, right? That there may be bargains to be had out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you can even attempt to drive a hard bargain yourself.
Yes.
But if you're looking for new launches, though, here are some that you might want to consider.
First up, we've got Verdi Ecodominiums. Yes,
wow.
Another marketing name there, I suppose.
Yeah.
In Symphony Hills in Cyberjaya, Selangor. Starting from 451,000 to just over 1 million ringgit.
Okay.
We've got 800 condo units on freehold land. Price per square feet around 600 to 875, depending on which unit you get.
Okay.
Maintenance fee of 31 cent per square foot. And the completion date is expected to be in December next year.
Okay, or you might instead consider Schubert. This is in Symphony Hill, Cyberjaya, Selangor as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they've got Schubert, I wonder.
And they have Verdi.
And a Verdi, you know. But anyway, the Schubert has three-story park-link terraces, and they are priced from about 1.56 million all the way to 1.9 million ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 152 of these three-story terraces or link houses. It's a residential land title, freehold tenure, and the price per square foot is about 498 to as high as 607 ringgit per square foot. Maintenance fee is 18 cent per square foot, and it's expected to be completed now. So you might be able to see them already.
Yes, absolutely. I guess there are still some units hanging about. It's time for you to buy, perhaps.
And drive that hard bargain as well.
Mm-hmm.
Every Friday, at the same time, same place, we have the property show. So till next week then, make sure you join us once again. Hi there, good morning and welcome. It's now time for the Property Show once again, just like what we do every Friday morning. I'm David Chiu with
Azura Rahman.
Now, today's show, we'll be examining the cooling measures that have been put in place by the government and its effects on the property market.
Yes, it's something that they've been doing continuously for the past few years. And Jared Lim from loanstreet.com.my has the latest data to see how effective those measures have been. Jared, let's talk about some of the cooling measures that were actually put into place for the budget 2014.
So when we look at cooling measures, we should be looking at them as a whole, because usually they don't come one by one. They don't come as an individual. The government or the Ministry of Finance and Bank Negara, they have to take it as a whole and see, okay, how is it doing right now? Is this measure working? And some instruments are admittedly more blunt. For example, interest rate hikes. Those are very blunt instruments which affects the whole swath of the economy, not just the property market. And then there are the very, very what you call surgical ones, like RPGT, where it hits the profits of speculators. So talking about the budget 2014, I think we've seen a renewal in the government's what they call resolve to take out a portion of the market demand from speculators simply by moving up the RPGT rates.
Right, right.
But at the same time, on the flip side of it, the government has actually also announced this youth housing scheme. We don't really know how it works yet. They did mention that for people who are buying their first house and you're married, you get a stamp duty discount of 50% on a house under 500,000. So that should spur a certain portion of the housing market.
Right.
So we can see the measures are less broad based and they're more targeted right now. I'm going to help the people at the lower end of the segment buying their first homes, while I'm going to try and take out demand from the speculative side.
So in other words, those who are seeking to buy properties of a certain price, of a certain value, especially those first-time buyers, should not be affected by these measures in that sense.
Yes, you could say that.
Right. Do we have the specific price for those who would not be affected by these measures when it comes to the type of property?
Yes, actually. So there are actually two measures. One of it has been there before, Budget 2014, where they give a 50% stamp duty discount on your loan as well as your sale and purchase agreement. But with the new Budget 2014, it was announced the youth housing scheme, where they've moved it up to 500,000, but only for houses below 500,000. And you have to be married and below, I think, an age of 40, if I'm not mistaken.
And it has to be the first property at the same time?
It has to be the first property.
So these are some of the requirements that should be in place.
Yes.
Right, okay. But 10% discount on stamp duty.
50%.
Sorry, 50% is a substantial amount, obviously,
it
in
is.
That sense.
It's huge.
But what seems to be the resounding measure in terms of limiting the amount of buyers in the market?
Before going into the measures, we just look at some of the data. From 2009 all the way to 2012, generally, you're seeing a year-on-year increase in the number of transactions, particularly in the primary market. And sometime in 2010 to 2013, various measures got put in place.
Yeah.
For example, your 70% loan-to-value ratio that you just mentioned. And in 2013, we start to see all this coming to bear, where transaction volumes actually dropped for the primary market by 31.6%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a huge drop from 60,000 to 41,000 transactions in a year.
Right.
And we also see a similar drop in the secondary market, although much less, where it dropped by 3%.
What does this mean? Why is there a more substantial drop in the primary market? What kind of buyers have been affected then?
We would say in the primary market, it's a more speculative game where people buy to flip, they buy to let go after the VP or even before the VP. But we would also say, because some of the measures that were introduced by Bank Negara and the government were lopsided, or they were very skewed towards taking out speculative demand. For example, they abolished DIBS sometime in 2013, I believe.
Right.
Or 2014. And by abolishing DIBS, it made the playing field between primary and secondary markets level. Before that, you could buy a property for 2,000 ringgit, 5,000 ringgit in the primary market, whereas in the secondary market, you had to cough up a minimum of 10%.
So there's less leveraging happening in that sense.
Yes.
Then. Right. Okay.
Exactly. And of course, we have the one that you were mentioning, the 70% LTV for third property, the 70% loan-to-value ratio. Now, that hits the primary market and secondary market equally. But if you remember that people who go into the primary market, if they tend to have already more than two properties, this is where serial investors go into. So again, they are more substantially hit.
70% loan-to-value ratio, though, does that seem to be a blanket ratio that's been used by all banks?
The 90% loan is available for people who have less than two mortgage loans.
Right.
Two residential mortgage loans. Let me clarify. So, for example, if I already have two housing loans, my third loan, at most I can get 70%. Now, this is a lot better than our counterparts in China or even Singapore. But it still is a very different from... it is for different from the days of 2011, 2012, where anybody can just go in and get a 90% loan.
You're mentioning China and Singapore. What are the loan-to-value ratios like there?
If I remember right, in Singapore, if you take your second property, I believe it's at 70%.
Right, okay.
Or 60%. I'm not too sure.
For the second property even.
Yeah, onward.
Would you say that this loan-to-value ratio also affects for the first property purchase? So, I mean, are there still 90% loans for that even, or are we looking at 80% at the moment?
Yeah, you can get 90%, even 90 plus 5. So for the first-time buyers, they are not really affected by this policy.
Okay. On a whole, though, do we see stricter lending by banks?
Oh, we can say that the lending guidelines have been tightened, but generally, they are still based on the affordability of the individual. So the stricter guidelines to lending by banks is really, we would say the effects are more felt by people who are going into their second property or third property.
Right. Okay.
Whereas for the first property, the rules are still the same. If you can afford it, I'll give it to you. We're talking about stricter lending guidelines based on even things like where people used to do refinancing, mm-hmm. or they based on their asset value, what net worth they have. Today, all this asset-based lending are being slowly tightened, let's put it that way. So asset-rich investors or asset-rich borrowers have less of an advantage.
So it'll be difficult to get your house refinanced as well in that sense.
You still can, but there's a limit to how long the repayment tenure is. So your cash out portion is going to be very, very low.
Okay. I'm speaking to Jared Lim from loanstreet.com.my about the cooling measures that have been put in place for the property market. What have been the effects thus far? We'll talk a bit more about some of the less successful cooling measures right after the break on The Property Show. It's Azura Rahman on The Property Show, and I'm speaking to Jared Lim, and he is from loanstreet.com.my, talking about the cooling measures put in place on the property market. What have been the effects thus far? Jared, early on, we're talking about loan-to-value ratio, stricter lending by banks, and of course, interest rate hikes, amongst other things. And these have been very effective in arresting property transactions. What have been some of the less successful measures that have been put in place then?
Now, not for lack of intent, Bank Negara has this... in 2014, they announced that property developers should be very transparent in their prices, where if they are giving any freebies, any discounts, any rebates, it should reflect in the property prices.
Mm-hmm.
And then the loans will be on the net price,
right,
after discounts and rebates. Now, that was with good intention, of course, of preventing the property values from ballooning upwards. But in actuality, on the ground, if you go out there, a lot of it is where the sale and purchase prices of a property are still being inflated. And then the discounts are being given what we call belakang mari.
Right, okay.
Where they give you, okay, maybe at a certain schedule, I'll pay you back by check, or I give you a discount of 8%, so you only pay a 2% down payment, and we'll just call it even.
Is this illegal?
I wouldn't go so far as to call it illegal, but it is definitely frowned upon by Bank Negara, which is the whole reason why they came out with the whole guideline of you should not do it. Yes, it does benefit the buyer,
mm-hmm.
where you buy a property for less money than the paper value.
Right.
Yeah? But we must. But let's take a look at what happens in the macro perspective. What happens? What are the effects? Now, when property developers do this, and by no means are we demeaning them or castigating them on air. No, not at all. But the it's what you call an unintended consequence.
Mm-hmm.
When you do this, the paper value as it goes up, the prices of surrounding properties will be also valued upwards to reflect the paper value of the last done transaction. But in actuality, what is happening is, although the paper value say it's 1 million, with discounts, the total price could be actually be 900,000 only. And it becomes a spiral. Well, this is a spiral upwards where, oh, okay, last done transaction on paper is 1 million. At the NAPIC is shown as 1 million. And so, naturally, the rest of the properties surrounding that area would also shoot up in value.
Right.
And so this is an unintended consequence that Bank Negara is trying to curb.
What about the measure where they had actually put the minimum purchase price of 1 million ringgit for foreigners? Has that had any effect at all?
We would say this is a very marginal effect because foreigners, they make up about 7% of our residential market. And generally, most or majority of their purchases are already beyond the 1 million ringgit mark.
Right.
So, but it does help so that we don't get foreigners coming in to compete with us on the, what do you call it, the affordable housing sector. Mm. So yes, it's a good measure, but still limited in taking out demand.
So what has been the net effect of all these measures and on the property market if you were a buyer, if you were a developer?
We'd say, based on what we've seen on the ground, never mind the numbers, is there has been some difficulty of disposing properties. Not that there's no demand, don't get the wrong idea. Demand is there, but the issue is with the availability of loans. Availability of credit is drying up, which makes it difficult for people to see through their purchase.
For sellers, that's a bit of a downer in the sense of actually wanting to dispose of property. Is it the same for property developers as well?
It is mainly felt at property developers first. If you've seen the drop of 31%, that's a huge drop. And in secondary market, yes, you feel it as well, but much less.
Is it also because people are holding up for the prices to fall a bit further? Is there a possibility in that?
I doubt that people are holding out and expecting prices to fall. As we've seen from the transaction numbers, the number of transactions might have fell, but the prices have held steady and in fact have continued to inflate slightly.
Would you see the trend for prices to eventually be discounted then, seeing that property is not being sold? You know, it's a case of, you know, who will put their cards down first, right?
Yeah, actually, you could say that. And again, it's a bit hard to track because of the paper values not reflecting the actual values.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, we do see a lot of developers giving certain discounts or very attractive packages for some of their units, which again, we say, because when it comes to NAPIC data, they show paper value.
Right. So that could be skewed in that sense.
It could be skewed.
Would the rental market benefit from this then?
In a situation where the property prices are on the, how does it, or transaction volumes are not moving, we would say that it's because people are less certain, not because they're waiting for prices to drop. And in a situation of uncertainty, some people might just decide, okay, I'm getting married soon, but why not I just rent first and see how it goes. And I know two or three colleagues who are doing the same thing.
Right.
They have full intention of buying, but they are holding out to see how it goes, especially if, for example, this year with GST coming in, oil prices falling, it's just the whole uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's no demand. There is actually quite a bit of pent-up demand that we can see.
Right, okay.
Mainly for affordable housing.
And would you see rents increasing then?
Yeah, I could see how it can affect the rental market if units and inventories of empty units are not sold and people don't move in. The people who are holding up their demand, they might just go into the rental market and drive it up slightly, but I don't believe by much.
Well, you know, it's taken time, but obviously these cooling measures have taken its effect. We haven't seen the data for 2014 just yet. Do you see this trend continuing? Do you foresee that these cooling measures will still be in place same time next year?
This year, 2015 is going to get tougher than 2014 for sure. Whether or not the cooling measures will be in place, I can't crystal ball where I am. But I do believe if things... it's not in Bank Negara's interest to see asset prices fall. And so we would have to just to trust them to be judicious in removing or implementing new measures.
Okay, and that's Jared Lim from loanstreet.com.my with the effects of the cooling measures on the property market thus far. If you've missed any bits of this interview at all, don't forget to download a podcast from www.bfm.my.
I guess those numbers are to be expected, Zura. I mean, only with cooling measures such as a less favorable loan to value ratio, and also that, you know, the more restrictive RPGT. But generally, the sentiment hasn't been that great, lah, honestly.
The truth is, David, you know, people are just kind of spooked, you know, with the GST coming in and oil prices spiraling down.
Yeah.
Speculators have pretty much exited the market, and genuine buyers just want to wait and see when it comes to buying property this year.
And you know what that means, right? That there may be bargains to be had out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you can even attempt to drive a hard bargain yourself, lah.
Yes.
But if you're looking for new launches, though, here are some that you might want to consider.
First up, we've got Verdi Ecodominiums. Yes,
wow.
Another marketing name there, I suppose.
Yeah.
In Symphony Hills in Cyberjaya, Selangor. Starting from 451,000 to just over 1 million ringgit.
Okay.
We've got 800 condo units on freehold land. Price per square feet around 600 to 875, depending on which unit you get.
Okay.
Maintenance fee of 31 cent per square foot. And the completion date is expected to be in December next year.
Okay, or you might instead consider Schubert. This is in Symphony Hill, Cyberjaya, Selangor as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they've got Schubert, I wonder.
And they have Verdi.
And a Verdi, you know. But anyway, the Schubert are three-story park-link terraces, and they are priced from about 1.56 million all the way to 1.9 million ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 152 of these three-story terraces or link houses. It's a residential land title, freehold tenure, and the price per square foot is about 498 to as high as 607 ringgit per square foot. Maintenance fee is 18 cent per square foot, and it's expected to be completed now. So you might be able to see them already.
Yes, absolutely. I guess there are still some units hanging about. It's time for you to buy, perhaps.
And drive that hard bargain as well.
Mm-hmm.
Every Friday at the same time, same place, we have the property show. So till next week then, make sure you join us once again.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.